Before we begin, we have a few announcements. We ask that cell phones are turned off and that those attending will be respectful and attentive, especially respectful. The Book of Mormon musical may not be respectful, but let's try ourselves. At Sunstone, we're making it a goal to build a community that allows many ways for people to express their faith. Our recent tagline is, "There is more than one way to be Mormon." We invite you to help us build community where all paths are given space to be better understood. What this means is we all get to practice feeling challenged. At this conference, you might hear things that you agree with, things that inspire you, things that help you grow. Growth can be experienced in many ways. As you go through the conference and encounter ideas all over the spectrum of belief, we invite you to employ empathy as your standard of engagement. We are so very pleased you have decided to join us at this conference. We hope you enjoy this session and the sessions to come. This session is being recorded, and you will be able to purchase it after the presentation. Each of the ends at the registration desk on the main floor. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to Sunstone Magazine at the registration desk as well. Your support goes directly to keeping the symposium and 40 years of thoughtful dialogue alive and sustainable. Don't forget to check out the bookstore in the concourse hosted by Benchmark Books. That was probably a paid advertisement, I don't know. This session ends in 60 minutes. 60 minutes long, we ask both the audience and the presenter to keep within the framework and that time so we can allow for the next session to start on time. As you can see from our program, the presentation description is as follows, and you've read it, so I won't take the time to do that. The Book of Mormon musical is back in Salt Lake, or is coming back? It's coming back. And I'm told that tickets are $1,000 each, so that probably means that most of you will have to talk to somebody who's been to see it. But if you belong to some club, I think you can get tickets cheaper. I don't know anything about this, but it surprises me that this is the case. But given what's happening in our world, nothing should surprise any of us anymore. So today we're going to have three presentations. I will say a few words about the Book of Mormon musical from my perspective. Ron Fredrickson, who is an actor and has seen the Book of Mormon musical more times than I have, will have a perspective. And then Clifton Jolly, who is trying to pose as David O. McKay in his white suit, will be here to close, and then I'll try and say a few words if Clifton has left me a few minutes. He sent me a note last night saying, "How long is this supposed to be? How long is yours?" And I said, "Well, I'll cut mine down so you can have more time." And that might not leave any time for question and answers at the end, but you will be more entertaining than the audience's questions. And he said, "Please say that at my funeral."
You've already used 5 minutes of your time.
No, it's your time. So, the Book of Mormon musical. My remarks are playing hob with holy things. What's funny and not funny about the Book of Mormon musical? And I begin with a quote from E.B. White, "Analyzing humor is like dissecting a frog. Few people are interested and the frog dies of it." At least since Aristotle and Plato, thoughtful people have attempted to understand why humans find things funny. Currently, there is an entire field of study devoted to humor. Scholars, apparently with nothing more serious to do, have been devoting their good minds and understanding to what makes something funny. One theory is what is called benign violation theory. We find something funny when two conditions are met. It violates the way we think the world should work, and it does so in a way that's not threatening. It's rather funny that people studying humor would come up with a theory that is the name of a theory that is neither funny nor understandable. Nevertheless, scholars take this kind of thing seriously. University of Colorado even has a research center, the Humor Research Lab, or HURL, which reminds one of all of the vomit jokes teenage boys and inebriated college students tell. Not at BYU, however. Founded by Professor Peter McGraw, HURL focuses on what makes us laugh. There is even an annual conference devoted to scholarship on humor, a quarterly journal and an encyclopedia of humor studies, all of which is funny in a way, how something so delightful, pleasing, and essential to human experience as laughter and humor can be turned over to scholars and encyclopedias. Well, for all the time and energy scholars have devoted to understanding humor, they haven't yet been able to explain why some things are funny and some things are not. This brings us to the Book of Mormon musical. I saw the Book of Mormon musical in New York because several of my students at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, where I teach Mormonism, were doing papers on it. And I, like a good professor, I thought I needed to see it if I was going to pass judgment on their papers. What's funny about a musical that has been called, hailed as both vulgar, ugly, offensive, and a truly fine musical? One of the smartest, quote, one of the smartest and most hilarious shows of all, perhaps of all times. Quote, the best musical of this century. What's funny about the Book of Mormon musical depends on, one, the level of one's sophistication, two, the kinds and range of humor one prefers, three, the kinds of sensitivity one has for those who are either the subject or object of satire or ridicule, fourth, the standards of humor acceptable in one's tribe or community, five, the standards of decency and the degrees of offensibility, and six, of all the complex factors that lead one to either laugh or cringe at a particular joke, comic situation, piece of humor. Ultimately, whether one finds something humorous or not depends on one's, quote, sense of humor. Since humans can't escape humor, and one assumes the gods can't either, given they've created us, we are constantly faced with situations in which we deliberately seek humor as a relief from the dread and drudgery of our lives, or in which we respond to the humor others present to us. Most of us have a range of humorous or intended humorous experiences to which we respond spontaneously. These include the potty jokes our four-year-old children or grandchildren tell, the Sunday funny situation comedies, political cartoons, hilarious jokes, witty comments made in general conference, and the corny jokes told inevitably in high priest quorum. I think one of the reasons the church did away with high priest quorum is because it put an end to those jokes. So what is funny and not funny about the Book of Mormon musical? As a teacher of literature and film, I am particularly drawn to good satire, which has the function of puncturing inflated egos, exposing self-righteousness, and uncovering hypocrisy. While Mormon missionaries are perhaps too easy a target of satire, I found some of the treatment of the missionaries in the musical both legitimate and funny, including having served 6 years as a full-time missionary, including several in a full-time mission presidency. I've been at times guilty of some of the behavior satirized in the Book of Mormon musical. And I recognize, for example, some of the super righteous, overzealous humor in Elder Price in a certain 19-year-old missionary from California who served in the Northern States Mission from 1955 to 1957. I also was guilty of times of Elder Arnold's free associating inventiveness of Mormon doctrine in Scripture in his song, Making Things Up. I remember, for example, telling people with all earnestness that the great thing about Mormons coming into the valley was what happened when the seagulls flew all the way from the Pacific Ocean to eat those crickets. That was really a miracle, and it would have been if it had happened. And I won't mention the advice inspired by admonitions from Joseph Fielding Smith that I gave to new converts about birth control. Thus, while the idea of mocking missionaries for imaginative inventing, the song itself is not only not funny, it's terribly offensive to Mormons and should be to anyone who hears it. Any song that includes lyrics threatening to cure AIDS by raping a baby, female genital mutilation, and the prophet Joseph Smith having sex with a frog simply should not be funny to anyone. That several elderly Catholic women from Minnesota sitting next to me in New York found such things funny astonished me. My guess is that they would not have laughed if that song had substituted the Pope or Mother Mary for Joseph Smith. The song that Price sings in the musical, I Believe, does what good satire is supposed to do, make us look at in the mirror to recognize teachings and behavior that are at odds with either with well-stated beliefs or extreme version of those beliefs. Mindless belief can be as harmful as belief. And blind obedience, which certainly infests our missionary culture, leads to, well, moral blindness. The line from that song that I found funny, but which also caused me to wince, is, "I believe that in 1978, God changed his mind about blacks." Given the number of people who suffered over Mormonism's Negro doctrine and the negative impact it had on the church, I found that line both funny and painful. Another song worthy of mention is "Turn It Off," which I was going to play, but I wanted to give Clifton more time for his brilliant remarks. In that, the lyrics say, "Turn it off like a light switch. Just go flick. It's a nifty little Mormon trick." And it's about a missionary who has same-sex feelings, and his missionary commander just say, "Just turn it off." As clever as this song is, and as much as it legitimately satirizes something in Mormon culture, it was painful for me to watch, since I've been involved in LGBT issues in relation to Mormon culture for the past 40 years, during which time I've counseled with gays who were told to pray away the gay. This resulted in so much tragedy and death. While I watched and listened to the song, I couldn't help being reminded of Elder Packer's infamous talk to young men about the, quote, little factories in their bodies, and the warning about tampering with them. The youngest boys in the audience may have wondered what in the world he was talking about when he said, "This little factory and automatic release work on their own schedule. It's to regulate itself. There is, however, something you should not do. Sometimes a young man does not understand. Perhaps he encouraged by unwise and unworthy companions to tamper with that little factory. He might fondle himself and open that release valve. You shouldn't do it, for if you do, that little factory will speed up. And when it does, turn it off." Now, I don't wish to denigrate the principle of self-control or the virtue of having chaste thoughts. But as every young man and woman knows, it isn't a nifty little Mormon trick as easy as turning off a light switch. Let me turn to other parts of the Book of Mormon musical I did not find funny. There are certain things that, no matter how skillfully they are presented, are not funny. It's not funny to use expletives so frequently they lose their effectiveness. I found this so in the Army. In addition to things mentioned above that I didn't find funny were shooting someone in the face, maybe with Vice President, whatever his name was, that might have been funny, having Satan perform oral sex on Hitler, sodomizing someone with the Book of Mormon, and the vulgar and blasphemous song "Hasa Diga Ebuwa," which I will not and would never translate for you. While I found the audience laughing riotously at such things, I found myself revolted by them. Also not funny is portraying Africans as vulgar. Most of the vulgarity in the musical comes from their lips. Backward, showing them as vulgar, backward, violent, uneducated, illiterate, superstitious, guileable, hopeless, and diseased. In truth, I was more offended by the portrayal of Africans in the musical than I was by the portrayal of Mormons. I have been astonished to find audiences, including the night I attended, laughing at the pathologizing of modern Africa during a period of history and when we should find such stereotyping not only not humorous, but offensive. I am not bothered by the fact that Parker and Stone got so many things about Mormon history wrong in their musical. It would have taken very little for them to have gotten them right. Or that in South Park and the Book of Mormon musical, they seem to delight in offending everyone and everything, and which some reviewers find as a virtue, but I do not. And that they don't seem to find anything beyond the scope of their ridicule, nothing beyond the pale for their adolescent, puerile, and even sacrilegious satire, especially, it wouldn't seem, not those things that some people find holy and sacred. A culture in which people feel free to laugh at anything, no matter how vulgar and offensive. A society in which everything can be profaned in the name of humor. A society in which nothing is sacred, not even good humor, can save us from ourselves. and that's not funny. Someday someone will make a good musical about the Book of Mormon, and I hope it will be funny. There are lots of good material in the book that lends itself to that possibility. Lots of things in our culture that make it that a possibility. And there's a challenge for Mormon writers and musicians. Thank you. Ron?
Pardon? I say this has gone off. Maybe that'll work.
Why don't you start your program, and I'll find somebody who knows how to solve this problem.
I'm a theater guy, and what I have to say probably has more to do with what I find quite exciting about the production values in the Book of Mormon, even though I was equally amazed at how raunchy it can be in places. There's no question about that. What follows is Mark Harris's foreword to the published script of the Book of Mormon. Mark Harris is the husband of Tony Kushner, playwright of the Tony Award-winning Angels in America trilogy, which also deals with Mormons and one particular Mormon gay man. Mark Harris says this, "About 5 minutes into the Book of Mormon, the jaw of the woman sitting to my left dropped." We can let this run.
There. It's ready to go now.
I think I can. If you come over. Clifton, I have a tremor. And I will foul it up if I try to work it. Now,
Bob doesn't know anything about technology. See that?
Yeah. That will turn down the volume. Now, okay, now.
I will try it.
Now. We'll let you play.
Hello. My name is Elder Price, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book. Hello, my name is Elder Grant. It's a book about America a long, long time ago. It has so many awesome parts. You simply won't believe how much this book can change your life. Hello. My name is Elder Green. I would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ. Hello, my name is Elder Young. Hello, did you know that Jesus lived here in the USA? You can read all about it now.
Hello,
in this nifty book, it's free. No, you don't have to pay.
Hello,
hello, my name is Elder Smith. And can I leave this book with you for you to just peruse?
Hello!
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 I'll just leave it here. It has a lot of information you can really use. Hello!
Hi!
My name is
Jesus Christ!
You have a lovely home.
Hello!
It's an amazing book.
Bonjour!
Hola!
Ni hao!
Me llamo Elder White!
Are these your kids?
This book gives you the secret to eternal life.
Sound good?
Eternal life.
And Jesus Christ!
It's super fun.
Hello!
We'll show you how it can be done.
No, thank you, sure.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Goodbye.
Have fun in hell.
Hey, now.
You simply won't believe how much this book will change your life.
Change your life.
Change your life.
Change your life.
This book will change your life.
Hello, would you like to change religions? I have a free book written by Jesus.
No, no, Elder Cunningham, that's not how we do it. You're making things up again. Just stick to the approved dialogue. Elders,
oh,
hello.
Hello.
My name is
Elder Cunningham.
And we would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ.
Hello.
Hello.
Change your life. This book will change your life. This book. believe.
I believe, yeah.
All right.
The next nominee for Best Musical follows two young Mormon missionaries as they travel from their homes in Salt Lake City to a poor and desolate village in northern Uganda. After witnessing the brutality of a local warlord, one of the Mormon boys starts to lose faith in his religion. But instead of abandoning his church, Elder Price decides to double down and reaffirm everything a Mormon believes. Here to perform I Believe is Tony nominee Andrew Rannells from the Book of Mormon.
I was a child, I tried to be the best. So what happened? My family and friends all said I was blessed. So what happened? You're supposed to be all...
We're going to do what the Book of Mormon musical says. We're going to switch it off. Because in the interest of time, with the interruption of technology, I want Clifton Dolly to have at least 2 minutes.
The Book of Mormon musical, now in its eighth continuous year, opened on Broadway March 21st, 2011, at the Eugene O'Neill Theater. It won 9 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Best Book of a Musical, and Best Original Score. It also won a Grammy Award for the CD on the score. Months earlier, we had attended a dinner at the Lion House, my wife and I, at our table were 3 other couples, including the late Chase Peterson, former university president, and Greta, who is presenting at this. Is Greta here? I don't think so. She's presenting at this Sun Symposium. My wife, Jimmy, asked what they thought of the Book of Mormon. They had just been to New York and seen the original production. And Greta said, "It's a bit naughty, but great fun." Now, you can see from that opening number that was part of the great fun. And one of the things that all of the reviews said, that it was vulgar and it was satirical and it made lots of fun of the Mormons, but it did so without an ounce of spite. And I think that, how many of you have seen the Book of Mormon musical? How many of you have not seen the Book of Mormon musical? Okay, for those of you who have not seen the Book of Mormon musical, it really is amazing how much these boys, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, were careful to really be non-spiteful, and I think that's important. I think that the church leaders have been very wise in not responding defensively. In the one we my wife and I went to New York and saw it, and then we saw it at the Capitol Theater, and there were 3 full page ads purchased by the church. I've read the book. The book is always better. And you've seen the play. Now read the book. Each one of those was a full page ad. And then I saw a different full pager at the Playbill in Salt Lake New Eccles Theater. They have some new ads now in the Playbill all over the country. It's coming again to the Eccles next August. It is running, the touring company is running in many, many venues here and in London and other places. It's pretty safe assumption. Two of the ads these days say, "May we suggest a souvenir," which shows a copy of the Book of Mormon. And it has another full-page ad that says, Our version is slightly different with an image of the Book of Mormon. It's a pretty safe assumption that the simple human awareness of the Book of Mormon's very existence has grown a bunch since the opening of the more than a little naughty but great fun Book of Mormon musical. Go figure.
Thank you, Ron. And in spite of what I read earlier this morning about ending at 10, I'm making an executive decision. I promised Clifton Jolly 20 minutes. He's got it.
I will be editing on the fly. In a darker suit. I have 6 children, and not one of them is offended by Book of Mormon the musical. And one of them is an active Mormon. And so part of this has to do generationally. We live in a world that, for those of us who are older, has been vulgarized by a kind of insensitivity to language. I didn't put that in, and I thought I'd extend the paper a bit. No, I don't. Can we just close that down? Thank you. I didn't think Saturday's Warrior was amusing, but I was amused by Book of Mormon the musical. The second point I'd like to make in beginning is that how you feel about Saturday's Warrior is a good barometer of how you will feel about Book of Mormon the musical. And how you feel about Book of Mormon the musical is likely to tell us more about you than about a musical some critics have trumpeted as the best of all time, which I suppose it may be if you haven't seen Les Miserables, Oklahoma, Camelot, Franklin, or dozens of other less notorious but musically superior entertainments. Robert Smith, writing for NPR, called Book of Mormon the musical the most offensive show on Broadway, but alleges it was born of a special kind of love, neither of which is probably true. The co-authors, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, explained why they chose Mormons for their musical and not Jews or Catholics or bankers, all of whom the duo have lampooned. Because, they say, Mormons give you such an excuse to be cheesy and Rodgers and Hammerstein, because you can have Mormons dancing around and doing things and being super optimistic. This is how we appear to the world, idiots. That is partly true, because this ain't no Rodgers and Hammerstein for sure. But it is true to what the two have said about Mormons in the past, describing us as the nicest people on earth. I have an etymological description of nice that evidences it is not a good thing to be. I'll spare you. And in point of fact, it may not be a compliment coming from these two. Mormons appear in much of the work by these humorists, including their very first production, Cannibal, the musical, in which one of the characters is also a Mormon missionary. He doesn't need anyone. In their second and more likely production, Orgasmo, Trey Parker stars as a Mormon missionary, but in the company not of Ugandans, but porn stars. He becomes a porn star himself, which troubles him as a missionary. Aside from its title, Orgasmo may actually be less offensive to Mormons than Book of Mormon the musical, partly because sex and being really nice has never offended us so much as having our religion made fun of. But aside from how really nice we are, why this preoccupation with Mormons? Partly because Trey Parker once had a Mormon girlfriend and attended a family home evening where everyone was really nice to each other. And partly because he grew up in Colorado among Mormons, and partly because, well, we are not only nice, but a peculiar people. And if you don't believe that, you haven't seen the musical. Because in and among the F-bombs and vulgarities that are the hallmarks of the ever-adolescent two writers is an opportunity to see ourselves as others see us. And be advised, the audiences are not laughing with us. They genuinely believe us and our beliefs to be ridiculous. And the writers do a very good job of making it seem so. I was just talking to my brother Vernon, and he said he had never realized how ridiculous our doctrines were until they were strung end to end. Sometimes Book of Mormon, the musical, is very funny. Sometimes it's just wicked, which bothers Broadway and its critics less than it should you and me. Although if you are a liberal Mormon, fearful of the church's past propensity for censorship, you will try very hard to forgive its wickedness. If the purpose of art is to inform our sensibilities and enliven our feelings, then comedy challenges our beliefs and hurts our feelings to tell us truths that we probably don't want to hear. There is much in Book of Mormon the musical we may not want to hear, even some that no one probably should hear. But like Lear, we will be wiser if we listen to our fool. And for once, the church either knows that or pretended to know it when it put out a press release shortly after the show saying, "The production may attempt to entertain audiences for an evening, but the Book of Mormon as a volume of scripture will change people's lives forever by bringing them closer to Christ." Not bad. As a matter of fact, really good for 50 East North Temple. Damning with such slight praise is sufficient to make one wonder whether our church has developed a sense of irony. Not to wonder. I'm going to skip a lot of stuff that Bob covered because I made the mistake of sharing my paper with him in advance of the event. There's the typical stuff in this about being a missionary you'd expect from someone who has never been one. I wrote a criticism of Saturday's Warrior, which was published in BYU Today, and I was told by the editors got more hate mail than any article they had ever published except for one on white sugar, which kind of shows you where our priorities are. And in it, I said, primarily the reason I didn't like it was because it made Mormon missionaries look like idiots. And I took myself very seriously on my mission. I got about 70 letters, actually. And one of them was from the wife of a mission president who said that she was offended by what I said because the missionaries in her mission were exactly like the missionaries in Saturday's Warrior. Yeah. So I wrote back to her and I said, you know, we can agree to disagree. Everyone has their attitudes and their preferences. There's no accounting for taste. Oh, and by the way, if I had realized that the wife of my mission president felt about me the way you feel about your missionaries, I would have snuck in and strangled the old bat in her sleep. She did not write back. So why do I prefer this Gentile musical to that composed by two very fine Latter-day Saints, one of which God punished me by turning into my home teacher? Lex de Azevedo became my home teacher. And for 2 years, although I continued to remind him, pretended not to remember the review. Saturday's Warrior is little more than romantic false doctrine pretending to be funny and musical. Book of Mormon the musical is, by virtually universal critical acclaim, a pretty good musical, in part because it feels no need to magnify the kingdom. Tractarians, as it turns out, make for poor art. That said, comment on the increasing vulgarity of much modern humor is a worthy course of criticism, as Gardner defends in Moral Criticism. In a society that characterizes comedy as clean or dirty more often than it does funny or not, those of us who grew up in a culture that forbade attending R-rated movies, we went anyway, may find ourselves conflicted if we went on to read R-rated novels and teach them to students of the humanities at BYU or UCLA. Instead of accepting the tension that has ever existed between the methods and the truths of art with those of religion, we too often seek resolutions of that same paradox. I'm reminded of an explanation I heard from a BYU English professor attempting to defend the modern novel against Brigham Young's admonition not to read novels. According to this sincere professor, Brigham Young was upset by trashy 19th century dime novels, which, if you've read any of them, are far less literature than is the Book of Mormon. But if you really believe the prophet would have been more pleased with William Goldman's Boys and Girls Together than with The White Avenger, A Tale of the Mormon Trail, the Brigham Young you know is as different from the Brigham Young I know as the Book of Mormon musical is from the Book of Mormon. In the book Dime Novel Mormons, Michael Austin observes that the portrayal of the Mormons in the 19th century pulp literature is stereotypical, telling us the dime novelists were playing with common stereotypes that nearly all readers recognized. Indeed, these stereotypes worked their way into much of the more respectable literature of the day and influenced the way American culture has interacted with Mormonism ever since. The most frequent thing I was asked growing up in Los Angeles by kids on the playground was how many wives my father had, to which my father instructed me to respond, only one, but he's young. While this kind of broad and careless, he was a bishop, so. While this kind of broad and careless characterization is the death of literature, it's a near requirement for popular musical theater. And as stereotyping in the 19th century was not only the result of ignorance, but of real antipathy, it may seem a little curious that two guys who think we are so great don't have a bright one of us in their batch. Did you see the missionaries on the screen? All idiots. And I've never worn a short-sleeved white shirt with a tie in my life. In Roughing It, Mark Twain described Book of Mormon as rather stupid and tiresome to read. It is smooched from the New Testament and no credit given. We've forgiven Mark Twain for being no funnier than Trey Parker and Matt Stone, while being even more suspicious of Mormonism, in part because he is too good to dismiss, and his best stuff is not so blatantly anti-Mormon. It's anti-everything. As are Trey Parker and Matt Stone. If we are prepared to believe, to be similarly forgiving of the authors of this Book of Mormon musical, then instead of being offended by their adolescent vulgarity and naive depiction of missionaries and Mormon doctrine, we can regale ourselves in their fundamental aesthetic. Everyone can be made fun of, Trey Parker says, and everything should be made fun of if you do it in the right way. If this is the right way, God help us if they ever come after us the wrong way. This hurts enough, doesn't it? Whether or not they have done it the right way has as much to do with how much theater you've attended, how many and which novels you've read, and whether or not you are prepared to accept the premise in the first place. Musical comedy that is merely profane or simply frivolous is a tough art form. But for me, this musical fulfills its task by being mostly pretty accurate about what we Mormons believe, and mostly pretty funny, even though a really good tune would be lost in it. If you are worried that it diminishes the standing of Mormonism in the religious community, take comfort in two facts. One, evangelicals are the most active in discriminating against others, and they believed Mormonism to be a cult long before this musical turned us into one. Further, they will be storming out of the theater with the first F-bombs. Second, my daughter Sarah alleges that most of the people she has talked to about the musical don't think we actually believe a lot of what the play says we believe, while in fact we actually do. They can't tell the difference between irony and our faith. And for the authors, there doesn't appear to be any difference at all. What we believe is so very peculiar to those who don't believe it that the only kindness they can give is telling us that they know we don't believe that stuff, and we're very nice. Nowhere is this better evidence than in the song that was featured in the Tony Awards. I won't rehearse the lyrics, but basically it just strings Mormon doctrine end to end. And it's outrageous. What we believe is quite simply outrageous. But a good Jew will tell you that so is what Jews believe. You know, a good Reformed Jew will tell you that Abraham's a story, and Moses, and the Old Testament, and don't worry about the Book of Mormon, because even if the National Geographic says that Jews didn't come here, that they're all Asians, it's still a good story. Jews have been around longer. They've lived with this longer. My son, Aaron, the active Mormon, he doesn't like it. And the reason he doesn't like it is because he says it's unfair. It suggests that that Mormons believe what they believe for entirely frivolous reasons, because we're told to believe it. Now, I agree that there are a lot of apostles who have tried to tell us what to believe, but the fact that we are here today suggests that doesn't work very well. And so for those of us who do believe, I would agree with Aaron that there is a fundamental bedrock to the faith that this play never touches on. But it's a musical written by the guys who write South Park. Of course it doesn't get what being a Mormon is all about. I don't think this musical is about Aaron or me or most of you. I think it's a send-up of foolishness that we should not believe in. No, we should not believe it all because some of it is wrong. Lehi and Nephi may not have come here on boats they built, and yet I believe the Book of Mormon to be true. True in the way that this musical is true. Not all of it, but the overarching purpose of it and the way it affects us to examine our lives more closely. And if you feel offended by any of that, you're entitled, because this musical is so profane and so stereotypical in its characterizations that, as Bob pointed out, Ugandans don't like it either. And also Weber State doesn't like it, a university of some repute. The last time I checked, the guest server at Weber State College blocks access to parts of the musical's website. Why? Because it's too profane for even a university to let its students access. And my eldest granddaughter, Maya, a liberal social rights feminist who works at the U and does not consider herself necessarily a Mormon or a Jew or a Buddhist, but maybe a little bit of all three, also doesn't like much of the language in the play. And if I were to use that language here, they'd shut me down, wouldn't they? They'd try. But come on, what did we expect from the creators of South Park, in which 7-year-old kids swear like dock workers? And if you've ever milked a cow, you've heard worse. If you've milked a cow, you've said worse. Book of Mormon, the musical, is an allegory for the writing of the Book of Mormon, maybe. It's a tale of a type of young boy who is not much schooled in the ways of the world, in which he finds himself unable to be certain of the solutions provided him. It speaks of the revelation of a new religion, a religion founded upon a book that had peculiar affinity and importance to the people the boy would give it to, explaining the relics they found all about them and making more personal and immediate a too distant God and his ancient word to them. In other words, so long as you don't insist on Book of Mormon the Musical being true, it's the perfect Book of Mormon story. Mormons may not like it, but it's not entirely about us. And if we think we aren't portrayed in a favorable light, we're simply wrong. Book of Mormon the Musical is the best thing to happen to Mormonism since my grandmother stopped slapping my mouth for saying I was a Mormon. Do you know when that happened? Los Angeles Temple. Church put up billboards. You're always welcome in a Mormon church because people thought because they couldn't get into the temple, they couldn't go to church if they weren't Mormons. And if they put up, you're always welcome in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nobody would know what they're talking about. You're always welcome in a Mormon church. And when I quoted that billboard to my grandmother Holt, a pioneer Mormon, she slapped my mouth again. I didn't like Saturday's Warrior because it pretended to be doctrinal and wasn't. And it made fun of missionaries by portraying them as idiots. I like Book of Mormon the Musical because it pretends not to be doctrinal, but is. And by taking missionaries very, very seriously, it's really a lot of fun. Maybe it's even art. In the meantime, while critics argue over theater and historians over everything else, much of what we guess about Book of Mormon and its people, even its origin, may one day be proven to be wrong. As the Old Testament has proven to be wrong. As some believe the Book of Mormon proven to be wrong, Bob.
1 minute.
1 minute left?
Yes.
I'm nearly done. There is no record of Joseph and of the Israelites in captivity in Egypt in one of the most complete historical records of all time. Now, do we insist that he be here? That he be there to learn what the story is to tell us? Maybe not. Earlier I mentioned that this tells us more about ourselves, and I'd like to tell you what it's told me about me. While I like to think I've evolved in my attitudes and beliefs about what the church calls same-sex attraction, the uneasiness I felt about what one of my kids called the gay stuff has caused me to wonder whether I'll ever fully recover from the history of mistaken beliefs and practices that mingle with the divine truths and revelations that I believe Mormonism to be. According to our fool, Book of Mormon the Musical, maybe not. Thank you.
Thank you all. Sorry we didn't have time for discussion, but somebody else is coming in here in 10 minutes. Yes.
Then we have 10 minutes for discussion.
No, they're coming in here. Yes.
We have 8 minutes.
Oh, well, Clifton wants more time.
No. I think you just caught some of us
us want to see it again.
I'm wondering what it will be like when it comes to the Eccles again this fall.
Well, it would be interesting to see what kind of a message the church could put out about what you've just said in terms of the kind of clever things that they're saying. We have time for some discussion. And so, who saw it more times than you did? Somebody here told me that they had seen it 8 times or 10 times, which says something about whoever that person is. Yes. It's a good question. The question is why, given the fact this is about an esoteric American religion, why does it have such broad appeal? Ron, Clifton, anyone want to say? I think my own sense, but one of you could certainly comment on it. My own sense is that Mormons are really, for all of our belief in who we really are a radical, esoteric religion. And the fact that our missionaries have knocked on so many doors, people have some acquaintance with who we are, and we keep ourselves in the news in some unfortunate ways, rather constantly. So people know, think they understand who we are, and so I think that kind of ubiquitous curiosity about our curiousness is part of it. You want to say something, and then we'll have another question.
Yeah, I would say that watching that opening number is kind of an answer to your question. All right, Elder Cunningham's first name is Arnold. Okay, and this is a spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen it and will see it, but the. The final musical number has to do with Ugandans now sharing and proselytizing the Book of Arnold. So, the whole put together of the musical, I think, is in terms of entertainment quite brilliant. But that's coming from a theater guy, and whoever did that to the. To the most recent iteration of the Book of Mormon, I think a director can get in the way of musical comedy with concepts they like to push.
Please, Christian.
So my response to that would be, at least for my generation, the Book of Mormon isn't primarily about Mormons. It's about magical thinking. And and people who have this magical thinking mindset coming to realize that it's flawed, but it can be leveraged to address problems that really do exist in creative ways by mixing in Star Wars and the Lord of the Rings and having Boba Fett come down from the Sacred Grove and deliver the Book of Arnold, which you can get as your desktop screensaver from Facebook at the Church of Arnold Cunningham.com. So the Facebook post about this that Lindsay Hansen Park put up said that she also was offended and didn't like the episode and wanted to know who else was, and it garnered 178 comments, which is more than the number of people in the room, most of whom seemed to forgive.
That, by the way, is about as many as Clifton Jolly's op-eds in the Tribune, Alyssa.
Yeah. Most people seem to forgive the vulgarity of the show as being sort of over-the-top exaggerations of things that really do exist. The excessive optimism and salesmanship of naive missionaries, the violence of Ugandans, general butt-effing naked, it is, of course, a ridiculous name until you realize there really is a butt-naked brigade in Uganda. of child soldiers. Anyway, but they were willing to forgive it because the point of the musical was not that Mormons are idiots. The point of the musical was a atheist's love letter to religion. And I think I didn't hear anyone discuss what the point was. Everyone said they were offended by the vulgarity, but what do you think the message of the musical was?
That Mormons are idiots. I don't think that the Book of Arnold is any less magical in its... I don't think the Book of Arnold is any less magical in its thinking than the Book of Mormon. It's simply tailored for a different audience. And so I would suggest that while it doesn't attack magical thinking per se, it does serve as a counterpoint, the vulgarity of the language and the guys who wrote it against the simplicity of the Mormon religion. And I think that's primarily what they're trying to say, is that this is a very, very simple and naive faith. And they may be right.
I would say, also in response to something you said, one could think of the Book of Mormon itself as a product of magical thinking, but one could also say that about the resurrection and about the parables and about, that is, if you move outside the realm of absolute rationality, everything in some sense can be seen as magical thinking. And I'm one of those people who happen to believe there really were Nephites and there really was a guy named Moroni, and that the Book of Mormon, it takes seriously, and I think Mormons take seriously, this new witness for Christ. And one of the things that I found difficult in the Book of Mormon musical is that God and Christ are themselves portrayed as vulgar and idiots. And, you know, that seems to me to raise a whole lot of other questions.
Well, I feel like one of the nuns in The Sound of Music, I'd like to say a word on its behalf. What I came to, I reacted to all of the stuff you did. I didn't like the portrayal of Jesus Christ. I was offended. However, what I liked about this musical at the end was the fact that the missionaries stayed. They were in a horrific situation. Most people would have fled that society. And yet, they adapted in funny ways, but they stayed to try to make it better instead of fleeing. So I sort of saw it as a left-handed love letter to missionaries and their beliefs and their dedication to making the world better.
Our time's up. Thank you. Sorry.